This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you believe you are elected to spend eternity in heaven? Well, those who believe in the concept would say that if you are chosen, you will belong to God forever. However, if you are not one of the chosen, there is no sense in even trying to get to heaven. Well, we hope you'll stay tuned and hear an interesting message on the subject of predestination.
Some of Jesus' teachings are very difficult to understand. We're going to talk about that in this sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every good gift that you have given to us, but especially your word, that in simplicity says that we are your children through grace by faith in Jesus Christ. But it is also a difficult teaching when we delve into all the intricacies that surround this doctrine. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us as we study that word again today, that we may know of your tremendous love for us. Bless those, O God, who simply turn in, have no understanding of the faith, and speak to them through your word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
friends in Christ. There are some statements that Jesus made which are difficult to understand, and they have been the source of much theological discussion. One of these teachings is a part of our text for today, which comes from the 6th chapter of John, verses 41 to 51. We do our best in studying the Word of God in conditions like this, and we come up with sometimes different interpretations. Then we have to comfort ourselves some way by saying we have done our best to understand, and when we get to heaven, we know there will be no mysteries. But the basic teaching, I want to say first, the basic teachings of the Christian faith are very clear, and this is in no way to muddy them and make them not clear. It's a basic teaching in Scripture that Jesus Christ is God, that the crowning work of his creation is a human being. The human being had a will to make his own choices, and so when Eve and Adam were tested in the Garden of Eden, they decided that they wanted to go contrary to the will of God for their lives, and they did, and sin came into this world. But God was not willing to give up on the human being. So he sends into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died at Calvary's cross and paid the price for our sins. If anyone will trust in the Christ and that bread of life, which I have already quoted, then he will be saved. But if they do not trust in him, they are lost. These things are very, very clear. But now we come to something that is a little bit more complex. Those who deny that Jesus is the Christ are lost. Jesus says, I am the living bread who came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. But Jesus is the only way to heaven. No one, according to our text, can come to me, Jesus says, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and then I will raise him up at the last day. What does that mean? Unless the Father who sent me draws him. Are not every person drawn? If not, can we say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? We know that Jesus has created us in his image. And that image means that we have a right to think. We have a mind that has been given to us. We have a will that can make a decision. And man can say no to God. This is one position. We all agree that no one can come to God unless the Father who sent me draws him. But when the Father has drawn him, and the man and woman understands that, can they turn and say to God, no, I want to go my own way? Is that what Eve did in the Garden of Eden? Is that what millions and millions and millions of us do in our own day? The Bible says very clearly that the reason for rejection is simply that they have turned their backs on Jesus. Yet, according to today's text, they are lifted up by the Father. Let me give you two examples, and maybe this will make it a bit clearer. During this past month, I attended a funeral for a person who was very committed and highly accepted in our community. When we came out of the service and were standing around visiting just a little bit, another man who I had as a young kid in my confirmation class came up to me and said, maybe I'd better come back. He left home after he was done high school, and he went to the military. I get the impression that between going away from home and his standing there in front of me after the funeral caused him to believe that he had drifted away and no longer was in a living relationship with God. So he said, I'd better come back. Is there still hope for him? You better believe there is. The Heavenly Father is bringing him back. In other words, he was among those whom Jesus had lifted up. In heaven, he has a place. He'll bring him back. That's what it means by being predestined. God has never done with us. He has chosen us from the very beginning, and he continues to work with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And until that person draws his last breath, then he is still able, by God's grace, to come back. But he must receive him. This is where the conflict comes. Now let me give you the illustration of C.S. Lewis. Many of you are acquainted with that name. He is one of the great writers of the Christian faith. Tom Wright, in his book, tells the story of C.S. Lewis coming to Christ. C.S. Lewis was being interviewed by an American Christian journalist who had been out seeking to get material for an article on decision. The journalist tried his hardest to have the literature say that there was a time when C.S. Lewis made his decision for Jesus Christ. But C.S. Lewis, who was highly trained in literature and languages, and taught at both Cambridge and Oxford College, did not want to use the word decision. Rather, he said, he brought me into his arms, or he had not made a decision, but the closest that he would come was to say, God has closed in on me, and he brought me through difficult times until I knew that I was his. If they say, unlike C.S. Lewis, then there are other difficulties. But you can see here that this great noted scholar from Edinburgh and all these other major universities in the world was a person who yet was not willing to become so subjective that he said, I decided on Christ. But from the beginning, God had predestined C.S. Lewis, and all along the way he had tried to work in his heart. But C.S. Lewis walked away. Now at that time, the belief is that the Holy Spirit work through those same words, and his unbelief was overcome. In other words, it is awfully close to a predestinarian position. You may ask, well, what is your position on this particular subject of predestination? It is my belief that Martin Luther has written correctly when he said in his catechism, according to the meaning of the third article, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. So I believe that at the beginning, I was among those who was chosen by God. Millions of people, perhaps all people were chosen. But for some reason unknown unto me, the power of the Holy Spirit worked through the Word of God in my life. Until I came that day to say, Jesus, you are my Savior and my Lord. Apply this teaching to those of whom you are concerned. I can just imagine that a mother is sitting listening to this. And you have many children. We'll say you have 5 kids. 3 of them are very committed to the Lord Jesus. The other 2 do not want him. They do not even want his church. They have rejected the church. They don't go to church. No matter how hard you plead and beg, the response is pretty nil. Maybe on a Mother's Day to make you happy, he will go, and you're just delighted. There's always a chance. But he is not elevated. He is not brought into the kingdom of God through election. Can he then be won for the Lord Jesus? A predestinarian in true fashion would say, if you are elected, you're going to be saved. God will not let you get away from him. But if you are not elected, there is no sense trying. But then what about the eternal welfare of these people? It is a real question that needs to be discussed. I don't know if we dare say that we have come up with an answer. I can tell you what I believe, as I have done. But God is the one who is in the midst of all of this. And that's why he says in this text that is ours, and I want to read it to you right now with this introduction to the text. It's found in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Here John is getting into some of those very difficult situations. While he is the one who gave us that simple little message, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, he is also the one who talked to the people of his day and to us. And here it is from the 43rd verse to the 6th chapter of John. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There it is. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God, meaning Christ. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. Now listen. He who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers, under the leadership of Moses, ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread. The same came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give up his flesh to eat? See the theological discussions, even within the Jewish family themselves. And so here it is. Thank God we have the simplicity of a John 3:16. But neither can we say we will wait until we get to heaven before we find out as well as we can what about John 43. We pray that God's word is clear and that we can really know beyond all doubt that we are his forever. I asked the lady just before coming in to tape. Do you believe that you have the assurance of your salvation? Yes, I do, she said. Do you believe that God walks with you while you're here? Yes, I do. Do you believe he's gone to prepare a heavenly home for you? Yes, I do. Well, then let me ask you, were you predestined or elected out of eternity long before you were born? And she said, I don't know. This is what we have tried to talk about today. Yes, I know that I trust Christ. She couldn't have trusted Christ if she were not elected. But what about another woman? Again, I'm being repetitious. But according to the text that I have just read to you, if she is not elected, she is not chosen for salvation. And the Jews were very, very hard to receive this message. Most people do today. They say, we can't have this. This is not a God of love. But we battle on with it, realizing that there is an objectivity to the gospel, that unless we are chosen by him, we do not have eternal salvation. But glory in this, that chosen by him, we are elected for all eternity. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray with St. Paul. Who can understand the mysteries of God? It is only by the power of your Holy Spirit that we have any understanding at all. And yet there, O God, it is difficult for us to lay hold of some of these things that go beyond our reason or strength. But we pray that you will help us to make it an article of faith, that you have elected us in Christ Jesus, but you have also given us the power to say no to you. For you have made us not puppets, but you have made us human beings in your image. So may we take all that you have given to us and put it to work for you, that men and women may know the glory of the gospel and trust Jesus Christ for all eternity. Bless those who are sick, and grant, O God, that they may know that you stand with them there if they're trusting in you, Lord Jesus. Help them to know that who have lost a loved one, they have departed this world, but in Christ Jesus, they live with you forever in heaven. God, there is no other answer to these mysteries but those which are found in your holy word. So to that end, we ask you to speak to us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has helped you to really know beyond all doubt that you do belong to God forever. An honorarium gift is a donation given to honor someone special who is living. These gifts are most often given to commemorate a birthday or anniversary, or can be given any time in honor of someone special in your life. If you would like to make an honorarium gift to this ministry, please send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or you can call 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We thank those of you who have remembered Christian Crusaders with your gifts and your prayers. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.